last train to London, with the season ticket price, of course, moving up as it goes in all sorts of ways. Okay, we've got Nicola Clancy, we've got Sarah Bullimore, and we've got you, dear listener. You can always contact us. How can they contact us, Nicola Clancy? It's on a white sheet of paper stuck on the table right in front of you. No,
right.
I think there's one on your side as well. You might find
no,
it.
No, there isn't.
Is there not?
Oh, dear. Okay, so you can email in studio@sirenonline.co.uk.
Yes.
Or you can give us a bell on 01522 837 337.
Splendid.
Or a text.
I know, it's amazing.
Do you want me to give that number?
Why not?
07797 800 716.
And now it's the time where we press a button which is labelled MM. What do you think the MM button might stand for, Sarah Bullimore?
I think it'll be Michelle Monroe.
I think you're quite right.
Hello, this is Michelle Monroe, and welcome to another Monroe Moment on Siren 107.3 FM. A change of pace tonight, this time a swinger. During Dad's time at Parlophone in the early 1960s, my father liked to include a number of up-tempo tracks on his albums, adding light and shade, and the 1965 album, I Have Dreamed, was no exception. Very little is known about the writer, Joseph Kentridge, who, according to the Performing Rights Society, only wrote a total of 18 songs, so one might assume it was amongst a bunch of material sent into the studio for Dad's attention. Recorded at Abbey Road on the 3rd of November 1964 and produced by George Martin and arranged by the great Johnny Spence, this song is a nod to old Blue Eyes himself. Not only is he name-checked in the song, but the lyrics also pay homage to Sinatra's catchphrase and 1961 album title, "After all, it's a gas, it's a ring-a-ding-ding, it's a breeze."
If it's love you're really craving, with a home, a hearth, a haven, then it's time you started saving. It's a breeze when the jackpot you have hit, and you tell your boss, "I quit." Hey man, it's a gas, it's a ring-a-ding-ding, it's a breeze. When you're sailing on the Med in your new yacht, you couldn't give a damn no matter what. But when you find the ball is over and you're tired of being a rover and you still can live in clover, it's a breeze. When you dig a chick that's got it and the marriage tie's been knotted, hey man, it's a gas, it's a ring-a-ding-ding. Hey man, it's a gas, it's a ring-a-ding-ding, it's a breeze.
Till next time, this is Michelle Monroe wishing everyone a very good night.
Good night, Michelle. Don't go to sleep yet, though. There's still an hour of the show left. I know Michelle's great, but you know it's not a case of it's good night from Michelle. You know, back to the show, handover. Lincoln Big, very important because obviously they improve businesses throughout the Lincoln area. But Michael Armstrong, why is he particularly significant, Sarah?
We work with Michael on lots of events and festivals throughout the city, including Lincoln Inspired.
So we'll be talking about that and other things with Michael Armstrong in a few moments from now. Isn't that exciting, Nicola Clancy?
Yes, it's very exciting.
Nicola has just had that crucial decision, fudge bar or apple? Apple or fudge bar? I wonder where she went.
I choose my friends far too well. I'm up on the pavement and they're all down in the cellar with their government grants. And the moral of this song must be there never has been one.
Perfect. Lloyd Cole and the Commotions' Perfect Skin on Siren 107 FM, Lincoln's first community service, and indeed station as well from that point of view. I suppose community service would suggest that we'd be out and about sort of dealing with Meals on Wheels, etc. And as far as I know, I don't think we do that as yet. I'm sure we will, though. Nicola Clancy, Sarah Bullimore are with us on the Midweek Drive. Now, Michael Bullimore, so far, no response. Two answer phone messages left. This is the third one. Third time could well be the charm, or it could simply be a case of, well, we'll have to move somebody else up into the system to hopefully take sure, well, make sure that they actually connect with us. So hopefully he's not the sort of person who's likely to burst into a whole range of obscenities on air. I mean, obviously.
No.
So. Well, it's ringing. That's simple. And Michael Armstrong, are you indeed there?
I am indeed here.
Yay! Sorry, you were just teasing us, weren't you?
Exactly. Sorry, the phone went. I didn't get it quickly enough. Then I've come rushing downstairs. There's a message on the answer phone, and then I've got this here.
No.
Do you want to do this over the mobile, or do you want to phone me on the landline?
What would you prefer, Michael?
Well, whichever's easiest, whichever's clearer.
I tell you what. What do we think, Sarah Bullimore? What do you think, landline or mobile?
Landline.
He's not on landline at present. He's on mobile at present. You see. What do you think, Nicola Clancy?
I think it sounds pretty good so far, yeah. So let's stay with it.
I think the official line, Michael, is it sounds pretty good so far. Okay. We'll stay with this, so that's fantastic. See, you don't get that with other local radio stations. Yeah, let's spend the first few minutes of the interview asking people, you know, landline on mobile, mobile on landline, Skype or something else. No, all sorts of two. Michael, Events and Promotions Manager for the Lincoln Business Improvement Group is the official title that you have. Sarah's already been singing your praises tremendously about how Lincoln Big obviously supports a whole range of things. I recall actually working with one of the Maritime Festivals that was on a year or so ago that Lincoln Big was involved with, which was exciting from that point of view. You're obviously doing something good in the job because you're improving business and you're raising events and all sorts of things throughout the Lincolnshire region.
That's right. It really is Lincoln City Centre, where our remit is really to businesses within Lincoln City Centre. They fund the Lincoln Business Improvement Group. So therefore, our remit on the event side is to raise the profile with regards to events and to create a sort of ambiance within the city centre. And that's what we're trying to do. We have, whether we have the beach, whether we have the ice rink, whether we have all different types of markets that we have, we are.
One non-Lincolnite, such as myself, non-yellow belly and so on, is that you look at the Lincolnshire infrastructure and you can see two things that scream at the average visitor. One is agriculture, and the other one, of course, is tourism.
Yes.
Is that kind of the two balanced things that you like to put together to ensure that actually, yes, obviously the agriculture is there. The Lincolnshire Agriculture Society does a sensational job. We know Jane Southall is regular with us on the sort of things. But from the business point of view, part of enhancing the businesses and the reason we've seen so many hotels growing immeasurably over the last few years, it would seem, is because you actually are bringing in tourists from a global network, really.
That's what we like to think. Obviously, that sort of network is absolutely key, and hopefully that people are sort of picking, you know, that are coming to Lincoln because of that, and coming to Lincoln because during 2012 we had Lincoln in Great Britain, which was a tremendous feat for us, and that really was something that we could really stick the flag on there and really say we've done really well, and that and. Events like that to try and bring more people in to get ourselves established is absolutely key.
Clearly it helps that that nice Mr. Spielberg and Daniel Day-Lewis have actually done their bit from ensuring that when we did the Myathon before Christmas, and indeed even now at Hollywood Boulevard, you have Lincoln mentioned there, which is a nice way of actually getting Los Angeles people to Lincoln on a regular basis, which is good.
Absolutely.
All helps on that side.
It helps.
We'll talk more about that with our Los Angeles director, Phil Leonis, in a few moments' time. But Sarah, Lincoln Inspired seems to tick all these boxes because it's Lincoln people doing a whole range of artistic scenarios. We've got wonderful quality material coming in from that point of view, and obviously it's attracting other people to come in.
It is, definitely, and it's why we kind of like working with people like Michael and Lincoln Big as well, because it means that we can also engage with all the businesses as well and look at alternative spaces to put on activities and events like the High Street, and just really, really cooperating and working with everyone to kind of improve the area, really.
Nicola, you're a Leicester from Leicestershire originally, and as we like to say, Leicester's loss is Lincoln's gain. As you're currently working in the area, you were obviously a graduate of the University of Lincoln a few years ago. What are you looking? What are your thoughts? And you're working for a Lincoln business that, you know, we don't really like to mention, Mercedes-Benz. But anyway, apart from that shameless plug, what do you sort of think? What are your thoughts about Lincoln Big and various with that, and the Lincoln infrastructure in general?
Well, yeah, it's very interesting. I want to find out more, you know, venues, like what is actually happening. I think I need to definitely get more into tune with what's happening around me, because I've only lived here for a short while permanently. So I'd really like to know, like, what Lincoln Big is providing for people in Lincoln or people outside of Lincoln.
Sounds like a question, to me, Michael. You know, would you like to deal with that one?
Yes, what we're providing. I think we are making the experience in Lincoln a more rewarding experience. We want people to come to Lincoln, but we want them to stay in Lincoln, and to whether it's to stay longer at the hotels and to enjoy the experience that they have here, whether it's in shops, restaurants, hotels. I think that is absolutely key. And if we can get people to stay even longer, that's even better for all of us.
So it's that stickability, to use a web designer phrase, of actually getting people in, but also whilst they're actually, it's not just a place where Lincoln will be seen as well. We might pass through it if we've got lost en route to Newark. No, it's more than that. Yeah, it's an important thing. Michael, from your own point of view, do I detect a Scottish brogue there?
Indeed, I'm from there, and people will say, what's a Scots?
Well, you see, the reason I was going to say is it's obviously one of our key supporters of Lincoln Inspired is, of course, Peter Kerr,
who's key
Scottish writer, etc. for the song. The kind of question is that in terms of, you know, what is it that sort of appeals from the post that, well, the above Hadrian's Wall set of things to.
I think when I first came down here, it was always seen that people were always going to York, and that was the sort of first stop off there. I think we're breaking into that mould now, and we're getting people to come to Lincoln, and that's what it's all about. We've got so much to offer here, and that's what we've really got to try and capitalise on.
I think that makes perfect sense. Is there a website that people who might be sort of interested in this, they're listening to it online, they're thinking about, that's a Lincoln Business Improvement Group, how should we actually go? Do they just actually pop it into a search engine and magical things come up?
Indeed, there's Lincoln Business Improvement Group is one, and also we've just recently started, obviously, the Visit Lincoln website, so it's just key into there. Visit Lincoln, and that'll bring us. There'll be a link through to the Lincoln Business Improvement Group there as well.
This may be a loaded question, but I'll give you a warning of that. Sarah Bullimore, if you had one thing that you think Michael Armstrong could do with his capacity as events and promotion manager for Lincoln Big, which would assist Lincoln Inspired, what would it be?
He's already done it, Alex.
Oh, he's well.
Fantastic.
See, you are just a saint, Michael, quite literally. Yeah. So you can actually add that in the next sort of periodic review that sort of works here on that sort of basis. Fantastic. Michael, it's been a genuine joy just spending some time with yourself and raising the important messages that you're actually putting out as far as Lincoln Big is actually concerned, because I know people have heard about it. You mentioned the sand scenario. Were you responsible for the ice rink as well this year?
And that's just finished. We had that for the whole month of December, and that's gone really well. We've been very pleased with that. We lost somewhere in the region of about 6 hours over the whole time with bad weather, but I think that's a pretty good record, and we're hopefully that we'll bring it back later on this year as well, at the end of December again. So that's something to look forward to again.
Yes, but I remember 2013 has just started. We don't want to be wishing the thing away.
Exactly.
Yeah, all sorts of things happening. When you sort of sign up for things like that, do you feel tempted to take part yourself? I mean, did you go on the ice rink? Did you say, yeah, that's for me? You know?
Right at the very start, I have to admit, yes, I did go on. Not this year. It was a year or so ago back. It was just on the last evening when it was the last hour, and where all the staff, we let staff go on as well. I'm not a skater, and of course, instead of trying falling, I didn't fall and I jarred my back, and that was me out of it for the next couple of months. So, no, I keep away from the ice rink.
So, I would have thought that actually,
that's me personally.
Unless you're very careful with respect to staff, when you actually have a staff outing on the ice rink, it could be carnage. I'm not even going to mention the three words safety and health, because you know, just do want to go there. We'd have to have the indemnity forms completed. We'd have the risk assessment would be there. Amazing. Anyway, Michael, two final questions. First of all, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic debut on the midweek drive for Siren FM today?
I thoroughly enjoyed this, and I'd be more than welcome to come back and talk again and to tell a little bit about the events that are coming during the course of 2013.
Well, that's exactly the sort of rationale that answers the second question perfectly, and needless to say, hopefully we can persuade you to come into the studio as well one of these days.
No problem at all. I'll be more than delighted to.
Excellent. And to take us around to Scott Tracy, well, what else but...
5, 4, 3, 2, 1... Thunderbirds are go.
It's not just a one-disc CD. It's not just a two-disc 3D. It's a three-disc CD, Shane Rimmer, My Autobiography. Three-disc CD, his autobiography. We could always be wrapping the whole thing through. Shane, as if, you know, there's crucial things from that point of view.
Yeah.
Sheila Rimmer, in case people are saying, is not going to be in the Rimmer outfit this evening, basically.
No. Sheila's been given her papers. It's all right. I mean... She'll probably come back in for the next one.
It's very important, but we're delighted that you're back with us, Shane, as ever. We scheduled the whole thing. We survived the marathon, you'll be pleased to know. So,
that was extraordinary. I hadn't realized you had been on for so long when we were talking to you. It's a marvel that you got anything out at all. That was incredible.
Well, you see, Shane, that's and actually, to be fair, you actually joined us, I'm sure, on one of our broadcast-a-thons in South London back in the 1980s. I seem to recall you being there. Or maybe not. Maybe I'm hallucinating. It happens.
I was a mere youth then, so I can't really remember.
This is very true from
that
perspective.
All right.
Anyway, let's deal with the sad reflections. I mean, it was inevitable that it was going to happen. People do move on to different areas, different dimensions, etc. But last year, I thought, particularly for the space industry, we lost Neil Armstrong, first man on the moon. We lost Sir Patrick Moore, of course, great supporter of this show and a key astronomer, populariser. And from the person who I actually once said, and I was delighted, I met him on a few occasions, and I was delighted to say that he was responsible for inspiring me personally to do a degree in chemistry and biology at, indeed, the very college in London that your own sons went to, Shane. So spooky, really, on that basis.
Yeah,
Gerry Anderson sort of finally checked out of this particular experience and went up to the great Super Mario Nation place in the sky.
Yes, hopefully. Well, I'm sure he did. He created an awful lot down here, so he was certainly ready for a trip upward, and he deserved it. He was one of those people who broke barriers. Hmm. He broke an awful lot. Before Gerry came on the scene, puppets were a very strange sort of...
They were scary, Shane. That's the bottom line. They were quite scary.
They were quite scary.
Yeah. Muffin the Mule, you wouldn't want to introduce that to a young child.
Yeah.
You know,
and they certainly didn't have much personality or drawing power. Gerry was determined to change that. I mean, he'd come up through his half a dozen series, and each one getting stronger and better and more appealing. Finally, he got the Thunderbird message, and it was all out. It's difficult, really, to go back. I mean, that was almost 40 years ago. Well, it was 40 years ago.
But I bet when somebody offers you a Mars bar, you still get those sort of palpitations when you think,
"Well, I was going to mention
slow.
That." It was our first studio, makeup studio, was in the Slough Trading Estate, not the most lugubrious surroundings that you could ask for. Anyway, you know, things were tight, and nothing on a great scale had begun to happen. Anyway, we got there, and we were right beside the Mars Bar, and it was summer, so all doors were open. And I can't tell you the power of that Mars Bar perfume or whatever it was. I mean, it took me 20 years to eat my next Mars Bar just to keep it... where it should be.
In the studio, Nicola Clancy had the decision to take in the early part of the show. Was it going to be apple? Was it going to be fudge bar? She went for apple. Yeah. I think it was a good decision, Nicola, actually.
Yes, it was. Yeah.
Marvellous. I mean, amazing. 32 TV episodes of Thunderbirds
were made.
We had two motion pictures, of course, Thunderbirds 6 and Thunderbirds Argo. But it has a resonance that still impacts. I'm not, obviously, for obvious reasons, mentioning the debacle that was the Jonathan Frakes movie, Thunderbirds Argo, back in the 90s, because they'd lost the plot completely on that one, but
they did.
In terms of the, I mean, Nicola, Thunderbirds, I mean, obviously you weren't around first time, sort of around. What were your thoughts on
that? I wasn't really that aware of it, but I do remember my brother had like the little Thunderbirds kit, and I was fascinated by the green one with the little yellow thing that was inside,
and it dropped out. Thunderbird 2 and Thunderbird 4.
Oh, I thought that was amazing. Then it had like little red legs that would ping out.
Oh, it had all that. And a siren, I think.
Oh, really?
So you couldn't hear it in space. I don't know why they had that on.
It is amazing,
yes.
Great. Virgil Tracy and Pilot Thunderbird 2, of course. Sarah, your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I was around at the beginning. I loved Thunderbirds. And I loved the fact that they just kept on doing reruns for so many years now. Because I remember, you know, when I was at university, kind of it being rerun early in the morning and kind of always putting it on.
Did you make your own Tracy Island?
No, I didn't.
We tried to. Can't remember how it turned out, but we definitely tried. A Blue Peter attempt.
You see? It sort of had that resonance. I'm curious, Shane was also one of the voices behind one of the pilots in the first episode of Space 1999, which, of course, the first live-action series.
Yeah, that didn't get very far. But they... That was an experience, I must say. It was a pretty... A lot of the people who manipulated the puppets were pulled into all sorts of strange animal outfits. You know, there were kangaroos and bears and God knows what wandering around the studio for a while.
It was curious. I mean, and obviously Martin Landau and Barbara Bain were the husband and wife team who were brought over to effectively sell the series to the Americans. And Barry Morse, of course, again, a key Canadian like yourself, Shane, who obviously come to fame initially through his work on The Fugitive, amongst other things, where he was Inspector Gerard.
Barry Morse,
That's right. So interesting like that. And let us not forget, whilst we're talking Gerry Anderson series with his Shane Rimmer, Aperitif, the classic Dick Spanner, Private Eye.
Yeah. that was my favorite, I'm afraid. I think Scott Tracy came in the second place, only because Tony Barwick, who was a marvelous sort of golfing companion and other things as well, came up with a real Raymond Chandler kind of a dialogue, and it was marvelous. It was just he wrote it, and I spoke it. And between the two of us, it became quite a collaboration. But this was Gerry's forte. There are not too many people who say, the hell with being careful. I've got an idea. I want to push it as far as it's going to go. I believe in it. You know. And once that thing is set in motion, it's very difficult to turn it off. And what he had the backup of some of the most astute and knowledgeable people in the business. Derek Meddings, who went on to Bond fame as the special effects man, brought in a whole crew of young fellows. Some of them had just passed their 18th birthday, and they were in charge of pretty critical technical areas, and he groomed them all. And I tell you what, when I used to go out to the continent and other places to do other films, there was always a graduate of the Gerry Anderson School out there in Derek Meddings.
As we said, had it not been for Gerry Anderson...
Amazing. It was like an academy. Yeah. Well, no matter how old you were, as long as you have the energy and the imagination and the wherewithal, Jerry said, come on, let's go.
And your connection, of course, with Scott Tracy led you to being in the first of the Christopher Nolan Batman series as well. You know,
yes,
classic
indeed.
Stuff. You know, in fact, share with it, because that was the tale. But basically, Christopher Nolan obviously connected with your son, who was a location manager there. And once he realised that, you know, he was dealing with the son of Scott Tracy, you were a shoo-in for the movie.
Well, yes, I'm not sure he ever regretted that in public, but it was about the last 2 days of casting, and I think I got the last vocal part in the whole production. But he was a lovely man to work for. He was another exceptional talent.
Well,
and he's going from strength to strength. I mean, the latest Batman has got kudos from one side of the Americas to the other.
Except our very own film critic, Richard Fitzwilliams, was not a big fan of The Dark Knight Rises, basically because he said that it was all due to the impossible werewolf control. It was that was an impersonation of Bane.
Your speech is being smudged a bit at the
precisely.
Moment.
That was the whole point, Shane.
Oh,
smudged speech. You know, lack of quality. Richard wasn't a fan of that. I think he's old school film.
Okay.
You'll be pleased to know that if you go to YouTube, you can still actually download The Curse of the Maltese Parrot, parts 1 and 2. So it's there. I know what we'll be doing later on after the show, etc. It's The Curse of the Maltese Parrot.
Yes. I mean, Tony put down some great stuff. Oh, that's my dog. Sorry.
He agrees.
He's a little border terrier. Oh. He's got a bark about 5 times larger than he is. I mean, he's a terror.
He's
about 8 months old now. So.
You see, this is why the Rimmers deserve their very own jingle.
Thunderbirds, James Bond, Stanley Kubrick, Meryl Streep, Joan 90, Doctor Who, Batman Begins, Superman, The Three Martinis, The Three Deuces, and Dick's Banner. Who needs anything more to welcome the legendary Shane and Sheila Rimmer to the
Good
Midweek
heavens.
Drive?
God, you should be on BBC One or up in Mars.
It's only right, because I must admit, Shane, I and you may well sort of say, I was conscious of various other things, but when our colleagues at the BBC obviously were doing a feature retrospective on Gerry Anderson, I thought, well, they got Matt Zimmerman was called up, fair enough.
Yes,
you know,
I'm seeing him tomorrow.
David Graham also sort of summed up from that point of view. As you know, Shane, I'm looking to feature all three of you on one of our shows in the near future, so I think we need to work towards
that.
But you know, surely as I said, the voice of Scott Tracy plus writer of Captain Scarlet and Joe 90 episodes, I would have thought you would have been a shoo-in to be contacted. Was it our BBC friends just not doing their research once again?
That's quite all right. I mean, I'm quite happy to sit some of them out. I think, you know, it's been a general acclaim. A lot of people have come into the situation who have you know, really relevant things to say about Jerry, who their associations were different, but I mean their impressions of the man are pretty well the same. He was a terrific innovator. He was very fair in his dealings with everybody who worked for him, and it just proceeded. I mean, it was out of the blue came this America at that time of Thunderbirds had an exclusion code. Anything produced outside of America was not allowed on American TV networks. They wanted to keep the whole thing for themselves. Thunderbirds broke that. They split it apart. They showed it on a trial run on a Sunday night, I think it was, and it exploded. And people said, we want more. We want more. We've never seen anything like this before in our lives. And so it was. It wasn't only... I'm going on about this, but I'm very proud to have been a little
I think you're absolutely right. We appreciate that. And I know in times past we've skipped over it, but I think it deserves to be celebrated because it did have a resonance. And I think even now we talk about Downton Abbey. I wonder if people will be talking about Downton Abbey with the same levels of affection 50 years down the line, basically.
Yeah,
amazing.
It's an amazing,
great stuff.
Amazing happening in you don't understand how powerful some of these factions are outside, you know, in the international media. They can close you down, they can wake you up, they can do all sorts of things. And he and Lou Gray just shattered that, and it was to their eternal credit that they did.
I tell you what, Shane, we're going to rerun a piece that I think you'll appreciate, because obviously yourself and Sheila, we were delighted that you were part of the Myathon, but there were a few people who weren't. Now, one of those people who didn't quite get together was Marty Ingalls. Marty Ingalls, of course, married to Academy Award winner Shirley Jones. Both Marty and Shirley, in many ways, they are the Rimmers of Hollywood, I like to feel, you know, except it's, you know, I think one of the days we've got Shane and Sheila together with Marty and Shirley, and a range of things for us.
That would be lovely.
This was Marty's message, and Marty will be joining us on the show next week. This was Marty's message in terms of why he couldn't actually be with us on the show. So here we are. This is a message to the listener from Marty Ingalls.
Okay, I did get a hold of you. Because it's, what is it, the 22nd now, and it's raining in California. This is Marty Ingalls. Alex, I got your message. I got it yesterday. I don't check in very often these days. So, I guess we blew the December 20th thing. That's too bad. I hope it went well. But if you want to do it again anytime now, if it's, I know we didn't do the big telethon or whatever it is you do, Christmas-thon, the Ingalls-thon, the California-thon. Let's talk to some crazy people fun, right? All of those. But if you want to, do it again, give me a call anytime during our times, and I'll jump on and see if Shirley and I can do it, you know? We'll set it or do it, you know, spontaneously. That's the basic number. You can add whatever you need to add. Across the pond and all that business. Okay? I hope you're having a good holiday, and we'll expect your call. Thanks.
So I spoke to Marty in his wonderful California base last night, and he's scheduled for this show. But you see, well, I'm getting that. I mean, if we're going to have an Ingalls-a-thon, let's talk to some crazy people-a-thon. A Rimmer-a-thon has only got to be a matter of times away. You know, I'm thinking...
You that's a bridge too far, maybe.
Now, I know you were in that movie as well, weren't you, Shane? Oh,
what
was that?
What was that? Sorry.
A Bridge Too Far, the movie.
But, yeah. I was the only North American actor who wasn't in on that.
No, I wasn't sure. Yes, indeed. Never mind. You know, it's perhaps to do with your Canadian side of things. Not to worry. Well, yeah, we'll find that out with Dean Haglund, who astonishingly actually said, as a Canadian, the one thing he actually took out of his Myathon experience with Phil Lyonis was that's going to be the last Myathon he ever actually does. I thought, Dean, please, you know, still, never mind. It was our gift to the world, as you know, Shane. That's the important sort of factor.
Yes.
We haven't had a chance to even talk about Barry Gray and the music and the routine from that, which is a whole new area. I'd love to sort of follow through from that. But before we actually head off to Phil Lyonis in Los Angeles, hopefully he'll be there. He's normally actually been putting various updates up on things.
He was a great selector of talent, Jerry. He seemed to have key men and the right key men in every possible position of the production. And some of them hadn't, you know, arrived at their peak. But he saw something there. And as I say, a lot of them are very young.
Yeah.
But under some of the better tutors in the organization, they blossomed. They were terrific. And they had this lovely sort of enthusiasm. You can't buy that, you know.
I like to feel, Shane, we've kind of captured some of that with respect to the Midweek Drive team and the Midweek Drive Brivettes and the sort of shows we do on a regular basis here in Lincoln and indeed in Teesside and Southside and beyond, really. I think that's crucial. Nicola, last two questions for Shane Rimmer, please.
Yes, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
Would you say that again, please? my ears are still...
It's all right, Shane. I had a microphone closed for the first part, so...
Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic...
More than that. It's always a... I tell you what, it's a bit like going to the end of the diving board with Alex. You never know if you're going to go up or down or in the water or what you're going to do.
It's like Splash without Tom Daly, isn't it, really? It's great.
It's been a lovely pleasure. And I'm so glad that the number of people... who congregate in that studio or wherever it is, whatever it is, contribute so nicely to the program, because it can't keep going forever. I mean, even Alex, you know, with his... So it's always lovely to be in your company.
There you go.
I like to feel we can keep going forever. I see that as a challenge. Carry on. Next one. Next question.
And can we look forward to speaking with you in the very near future?
Well, I don't know. I'm not sure what sort of equipment you've got.
I know we were going to say this, but Shane is going on a cruise. She's going on a cruise with Sheila, exactly, a talking cruise. But is that the end of February or beginning of March?
It's just going into March, and it's up into the Norwegian fjords.
They've got wonderful crinkly bits. Lights. Yes, the Aurora Borealis.
That's
fantastic. Yeah,
you really electrify me. That's
Shane,
that's right.
I felt that's a crucial part of the whole sequence over the years, really. So, I think we'll have you before the end of January and February, and since you'll be back with them, before that, and cruise ship. Shane Rimmer will return. That's the important thing.
Yeah,
actually, Shane, you need to deputise Matt Zimmerman and David Graham. They need to join us on the show as well. So
that would be a treat.
We'll get that sorted.
Okay.
Shane, take care of yourself, and all the best to the terrier who of course is called.
Yeah.
What's the dog's name?
Oh, I don't know.
Flynn,
exactly, as in Earl, in like.
Sometimes we call him Errol, but it's usually Flynn.
Bye bye, Phil. Flynn, bye bye, Shane. Woof, woof, woof.
Bye bye.